Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. Let me ask all of you HR leaders out there one question. When is the last time that you ever heard an HR leader say, "Hey, I can't wait until it's time to do HR reporting"? Said never by an HR person, because the process is typically manual, painful, and time-consuming. You're logging into all these different HR systems, trying to pull all together all these messy, crappy spreadsheets into one place, trying to tell a data-driven story about your workforce. We know that you're smart and you want to do your job and you want to catch small workforce issues before they become big workforce problems, yet all these messy spreadsheets are keeping you from doing your job. That's why we created Employee Cycle. Your all-in-one people dashboard that connects to all of the best-in-breed HR systems built for small and medium companies. That's right. We have pre-built connections to all the systems like Bamboo, Namely, Zenefit, Sapling, ADP, Trinet, Greenhouse, Reflective, Office Vibe, Lattice, you name it. We can help you bring in all your data into one place so you can view, share, track, and analyze all your people data in one unified view. Go to employeecycle.com to schedule a demo. We'd love to talk with you and give you a free trial. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have a great guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Erica Woods. She's the HR director at Canonical. And today we're going to discuss why having a globally distributed and remote team is awesome. Erica, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Erica, welcome! Thank you. Glad to be here. I think the answer to your question is, why wouldn't it be awesome, right?
Well, Erica, before we actually go into that, I actually have one question that we always ask at the beginning of every single interview. So to kick this thing off right, we're going to ask you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Oh, wow. It was way back in the dark ages, before any of these fabulous tools like HRIS systems existed. I was working with a company that went from 9 people to 150 people in about 4 months. And my boss said, "We need someone to do this thing called human resources. I think you'd be good at it. We'll pay you to go to school to do it. And go handle it." And I did, and found that I loved it. It encompasses all of the things I love, all the geeky things like data analysis and, you know, looking into kind of the compensation and all the stuff of HR, right? I'm super organized, so I got to file everything. And I get to do sociological studies of people all day, every day, which I also love. It's my background, my school background. So HR became kind of everything, and I still love it 950 years later.
Nice. Love that origin story. So today we're talking about why having a globally distributed and remote team is awesome. So as you were about to say, why wouldn't it be awesome?
Why wouldn't it be awesome? Yeah. I mean, my days start with Europe and some of Africa, and you know, and then the U.S. wakes up, and I start dealing with the U.S. and Brazil and Canada and all points in between. And my day ends with Asia and Australia, New Zealand. Who wouldn't love that? Right? I get to talk to people who are all over the world doing work that they love from the joy and comfort of their homes. Remote and distributed means that there's a level of intimacy you don't get it in an office, right? You get to see people's children and their dogs and cats and their spouses, and you get to know people in a way that you typically wouldn't standing by the water cooler. It has all of the joys of being in HR with fewer of the pains, as far as I'm concerned, having done it for a few years. Yeah, what's not to love about it?
All right, so I'm going to play devil's advocate here, because pre-COVID, there were and still are a lot of HR leaders and CEOs and business owners that have despised the idea of remote teams and distributed teams, regardless of what type of work you were doing and which industry you were working in. And yes, there's a lot of companies that are saying, well, now that we see that we can still be productive and successful and get things done, that now we're going to jump on this bandwagon. But there's also a lot of people who still are saying, yeah, I hear you. It was cool while it lasted, but everybody bring yourself back to the office. So with that being said, let's go through some of the reasons as to why people really don't like this model or feel that they're missing out on the in-office space. And you tell me how you can overcome that barrier. So you just mentioned the water cooler.
Yeah.
A lot of people talk about employees need to be all together so they can brainstorm, they can whiteboard. You actually get to know people better through the random chatter that needs to be so intentional when it's remote or online. How do you overcome that in a globally and distributed remote team?
Well, I think the way that we overcome that is that we have all of those things, right? Several of our teams have what they call water cooler meetings. And the longer you spend time doing the remote thing, the more comfortable you become doing all of the stuff that you would do in an office. It's not forced, right? I think a lot of it is intention, right? It's how you set it up. And we've been very fortunate at Canonical that we set it up very well. And so when people come on, we do everything we can to let them know that from day one, they're part of a team and a part of a larger team that is the company. And so, you know, we have water cooler meetings, we have, you know, meet and greets, we have, some teams have happy hours. And just the other day, we did a cooking class with one of our employees in Mexico. And that was really fun, right? Everybody got to bring the ingredients and everybody, you know, we all laughed and joked about, you know, what it was like for us to cook. So all of that stuff happens. It just happens from the comfort of your own home.
But it sounds that you have to be a lot more intentional about it and thoughtful. Not to say that you shouldn't be intentional or thoughtful about anything, but now it seems like you have to go out of your way to make these things happen versus just somebody randomly walking by you saying something, and then all of a sudden you have this conversation starts creating a bond between these different employees that wouldn't have happened if they didn't already know that they had something in common and then went out of their way to find time online to talk about it.
Sure. But I guess my question there is, what's wrong with being intentional, right? I jump on a call with someone, they have a Star Wars bobblehead in the background. I go, oh, cool, I love that. I'm a huge Star Wars fan too. And then we geek out on Star Wars for a couple of minutes, right? Then I know that I have that. I think that sometimes what happens in office environments, and I know I can't imagine that there aren't others who would agree with this, is that sometimes that feels like it's a forced thing, right? Sorry, my phone is ringing. It feels like it's forced, right? You're standing there, you have your Star Wars cup in your hand, someone starts talking to you, actually don't want to talk about Star Wars, but now you're standing by the water cooler having this kind of conversation. I feel like in this way, you're never in that forced environment. Anything that happens is intentional. And I think being more intentional is a beautiful thing. I think we could all be a little more intentional.
Okay. One of the other issues I keep hearing is there's no clear line between the work life and the personal life. Whereas in the office, you go to the office, you're at work, you go home, you're home. And now the line is so gray and so blurred that people don't really know how to turn work off.
Yes. Yeah, that I hear that a lot too. And I think one of the things that I have found true when I've dug a little deeper is that the workaholics were already taking work home. Right? They already had their work email on their personal phone and they were doing things that, you know, that they thought they were going to leave at the office at home anyway. And so many of us, even if we work in an office, we have a laptop that we take home with us, right? So I think that every time I've dug deeper into this question, what I found is that it hasn't changed for a lot of people. And for those people who it has changed for, there are solutions for that, right? For some companies have the ability to actually turn off your work email in the evening so that you don't have access to it, right? There are ways that you can make that happen. Canonical happens to be a company of people who work very hard. We have quite a few workaholics, myself included in that. And one of the things that I appreciate, and I hope that others are embracing as this remote work starts to happen more often, is the flexibility. Is that although I'm a workaholic, because I have the flexibility of maybe starting at 6 a.m. to have some meetings with people in the UK, and I know I'm going to be on at 5 in the evening to talk to someone in Asia, maybe that means that at 11, I stop and go to a yoga class, right? Which is harder to do when you're in the center of a city, and well, less so now. More cities have more yoga classes. Yoga's a bad example, right? But I know I have people who stop and go for runs. I think you can find ways to balance that so that you are playing kind of in the middle of your workday, right? As long as you're being productive.
Okay. Another thing that I hear a lot is people are starving because they don't have a lack of in-person interaction. And meaningful in-person interaction with people who they are sharing this bond with, and the bond being work.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you overcome that?
Pre-COVID, that was really easy, right? We'd have probably quarterly or every 6 months some kind of meetup where people would get together and meet. In this COVID moment, right, that's more difficult. And that's one I don't think anyone can really solve. I would find that if I felt like I was craving that, and I'm only going to speak about myself in this instance, but I'd find that if I was craving kind of that social interaction, I could just go sit in a coffee shop, right? And then I'm working, and I'm also getting the feeling of people around me kind of moving and doing their thing. Can't do that in the midst of this pandemic. And I wouldn't do it even if somebody told me that I could right now, because it doesn't feel like it's a safe thing to do. Actually, I wish I had a better answer for this right now, because I know that it's a thing that everyone is struggling with, whether they're employed or not, right? Everyone is starved for some social interaction. And it's one of the reasons that actually right now I'm actually working outside just for a moment to not be in my office, right? To get the sunshine and the trees and the birds. And I hope that people are finding ways to get as much social interaction as they can through this pandemic. And if there is an answer, I hope that you will give it to me at some point. That's a hard one right now. And it'll shift as COVID shifts. But right now, that's a hard one.
This also may be primarily due to COVID. But I'm assuming that even in pre-COVID times, people were struggling with a lack of privacy if they work from home. So I know that there are people that may want to talk to HR or other people at the office about whatever they're going through personally, professionally, or otherwise. Yet with them being in the house with everyone else, it doesn't really provide them with that sense of privacy to be able to speak as openly as they could have before. So how do you deal with that?
So I do what I've always done. And I did this when I worked in offices too. I'd say to the person who wanted to talk to me, let's take a walk. And in this COVID moment, in most places, I know there have been places with really strict lockdown rules, but you can take an exercise walk or get out for some exercise. And so that's what I've encouraged people to do. You know, if you have an hour out and you're open to it, take a walk with me. Right. And instead of being on a hangout or, on a video call, we might just be on the phone. But then you get the privacy. You get the feeling of the intimacy. I'll walk too. Tell me where you're walking. Cool. I'm walking here. Right. So it sets the tone. I'm going to walk with you. And then we're having a private conversation while we're out on that walk. So it's one of a couple of ways that I do that. But it's one of the most effective ones that I find during this COVID moment.
Thank you for that. So I think you get an A+ for answering all those questions as to why it's not awesome and it's stressful and painful and challenging. You know, that's what I keep hearing over and over again.
Sure.
So now let's flip this on its head.
Okay.
When we were prepping for this, you said working at a globally distributed and remote team is awesome.
Yep.
And you were so excited about it.
I am.
Why is it awesome? Now we don't need to talk about overcoming the challenges of running a company like this, but now let's talk about the major perks and the benefits from running a company like in this way.
Well, I think you get to focus more on the people, right? You're not so focused on the overhead of your offices and all of the, there are a lot of operational things that you have to think about when you've got offices, especially if you're a global company, right? So that's one. I think you get to focus more on your people. I think two, you get to connect people who might otherwise never connect, right? A guy in South Africa with a guy in North Carolina and a guy in Brazil and a woman in Australia and a woman in Beijing who are all working on the same team. They might never connect at another company, even if it was a global company, right? Because a lot of times global companies are siloed, right? So you have a team in Brazil and they only talk to the team in Brazil except every once in a while, right? At Canonical, everyone, we all work together, and people, the bonds and connections that people make are so amazing. They're so cool, right? That like this guy in Poland is best friends with this guy in Shanghai because they worked together on this project and found that they had way more in common than different and stayed connected. So there's that, right? And so far I've only talked about the people aspect, so I'll shift a bit. You also get, from an HR nerd geek standpoint, you get to know HR for the whole world, right? Like, I get to learn about what holidays happen once every 300 years in Poland or something, right? Like the things that, how to differentiate between a contractor and an employee in a place like Switzerland, right? There's so many bits and bobs that I get to learn about in HR that I wouldn't learn about if I were working for an office-based US-centric company. I love that because I kind of am an HR nerd geek person. So to me, the getting into the nuts and bolts of HR and how it's done in 40 countries is super exciting, right? I mean, look, when we opened up an office in Japan, and I am working with the Japanese lawyers to create the employment contract and all of the stuff that went with it, man, that was the funnest. That was one of the funnest, 50, 60 hours of my life from a work standpoint. That stuff's exciting to me. And I accept that that makes me a little bit of a weirdo, and I'm okay with that.
I wish I could see the face of all the HR leaders listening to this right now. I'm wondering, are people
want to know what I'm smoking?
I'm wondering if most HR leaders are thinking, yeah, you're making it sound super easy, whatever. Or are people thinking, oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. Sign me up right now. So last question that I want to ask you. Let's just say for those who are listening and drooling over this opportunity and thinking, wow, Erica, you've really painted the picture and this bright vision for how I now want to transform our company and my company's culture and hiring and thinking globally and having this globally distributed and remote team is going to be awesome and amazing. What should they be thinking about to create this type of workforce in regards to culture and hiring, and if you just want to pick one of the top or two of the top things that you think that anyone who's moving into this space and now wants to move into this framework indefinitely, what should they be thinking about in order to make this work?
Well, I'm going to quote our CEO because I think it's the best statement to kind of answer this question. And one of the things that he has always said is that we hire the best and the brightest from anywhere in the world. And with that as your motto, you can't really go wrong, right? Because the people that you bring on are going to be 100% committed to what you're doing. And that means that any initiatives, whether it's cultural or diversity and inclusion or engagement or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the list goes on and on. They'll work because your people get what you're doing, right? It all starts with the people. It starts and ends with the people of an organization. And I'm very honored to say that Canonical has some of the most incredible humans working for it. And it's how we get this done, and it's how we get it done seamlessly as possible. And, you know, I'm not going to pretend it's not hard work. I'm not going to pretend there aren't days where I'm like, okay, I could have dealt with one less country today and I would have been all right. But at the end of it, like when I talk about HR to other HR professionals in my circles, they do look at me like I'm a little crazy, but they also get that I'm a total believer in this. I love this. And I think, look, if anyone's, you know, they can find me on LinkedIn. I think I have my middle initial in my LinkedIn. So Erica Y. Woods. I'm happy to evangelize all day long about how to do this. Well, maybe not all day long, because I do kind of have a day job, but I'm happy to help in any way that I can.
Got it. Well, Erica, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest and for being the tenured, tried and true, super experienced remote work person to help everybody else figure out how are they going to operate in this new world or new reality or post-COVID or whatever we're calling it.
Yeah.
You helping and guiding other HR leaders in this space has been super invaluable. So thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you. This is great. Thank you.
So my next question is always, where can people find you and Canonical online? You've already talked about your LinkedIn profile, which we'll provide in the show notes, but where can people find Canonical?
We are canonical.com. CANONICAL.com or Ubuntu. We are the company that makes Ubuntu. So either of those will get you to us.
Awesome. And we'll definitely include that in the show notes. So if you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as Erica and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes, because it shows that you care and that we're creating great content. Also, if this is your very first time listening to one of our interviews and you came here because you either are already a huge super fan of Erica and you just had to hear what she was going to say, or you thought that this topic was super compelling, but now you're hungry for more, then please, 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 please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast platforms. And last but not least, all of you super awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.